GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
In our continuing coverage of the murder trial of Sharon Carrillo in Waldo County Superior Court, we turn to our partners in legal briefs, Lanham, Blackwell, and Baber, and Brett Baber dialing in on line three. Welcome back, Brett. The jury gets to begin deliberations this morning.
Yes, it's the high point of any trial when the 12 people selected from the community get to go behind closed doors and start sorting through all the evidence. And this could prove to be a rather difficult case for the jury to assess.
To secure the conviction, prosecutors have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the woman caused, aided in, or facilitated her daughter's death. On the other side, Carrillo's attorneys are maintaining the false confessions were given by a traumatized and very low IQ person whose intelligence is below 98% of the population. So the judge will make the charge to the jury today. What is Judge Murray apt to tell them?
Well, George, Judge Murray will give the jury the instructions of the law they are to follow. The jury will be told that they are to decide the facts of the case, but then they are to apply the law that Justice Murray provides to them. And Justice Murray will go through what is evidence, what is not evidence. There may be issues involving hearsay in the case, telling the jury to, you know, don't think about anything I've told you not to think about. In terms of what evidence is and circumstantial evidence versus direct evidence, personal knowledge, that sort of thing. He will then get into the substantive details of the murder charge, and she is charged with depraved indifference murder. And you know, there's a very specific jury instruction. I do not have my jury instruction book at my side this morning because I'm not at the office at 6:30, but the essence of the charges that have depraved indifference murder, that she engaged in some voluntary acts that were so heinous, atrocious, vile, you think of the adjectives, that's what it means to engage in depraved indifference murder. We have no doubt that there is a person that is deceased. The poor little girl, 10-year-old girl, Marissa Kennedy, who died from the hands of abuse, no doubt about that. And then the jury will be, I think, focusing on the concept of voluntariness. Justice Murray will give it, I think, an instruction that she would have to have acted voluntarily, and that will get into the whole issue that the defense has focused on throughout the course of the trial, whether or not Sharon Carrillo did this voluntarily, or whether or not she was acting, you know, out of fear herself, or not acting, as the case may be, where she was just allegedly standing idly by watching her daughter get beaten to death by Julio Carrillo.
Asked this before in one way, but now that all the evidence is in, and some listeners might be wondering, does not stopping someone from committing these heinous acts that the evidence submitted by the state and testimony from the defense indicate that Julio Carrillo was responsible for, does not stepping in and stopping someone like Julio Carrillo from committing these acts meet this definition of murder?
The state argued, and I believe it's based on jury instructions that will be given, that to find Sharon Carrillo guilty, she either had to participate in or facilitate Marissa's death. One could argue that as a parent standing idly by and allowing somebody else, you know, you're just watching this happen and you have the ability to stop it, is facilitation of Marissa's death. I thought the state's closing argument, again, trying to convince the jury beyond a reasonable doubt, they were arguing that this whole defense was once again an instance of Sharon Carrillo's selfishness, that she's trying to protect herself, not Marissa. was very poignant, a very poignant counterpart to the entire defense argument, trying to portray Sharon once again in more of the villainous evil role of failing to protect. Yes, under these circumstances, a failure to intervene as a parent could be viewed as facilitation of this murder.
Sharon Carrillo might be a terrible mother. That was the defense attorney, Christopher McLean, said. She may be a person who maybe never should have had children, but none of that makes her guilty of murder. That seems to be where the defense is saying she didn't do anything to stop it, but she didn't do anything to make it go forward either. It's a tough argument. It seems to me that, and you're the lawyer, defense attorney McLean did all he could in her defense.
Mr. McLean put on one of the best murder defenses I've ever seen. You have to go with what you have, and he had quite a lot of fertile ground there. We start with, you know, Giulio Carrillo and the nature of, you know, domestic abuse, where he is this manipulating, controlling, conniving monster, if you will, and you know, Sharon's attorney would have you believe that she was, you know, as much the subject of his control as Marissa. Although I don't think there was a lot of evidence, I certainly didn't see it reported that Sharon was physically assaulted like her daughter. There weren't instances, in fact, of the state brought this out on cross-examination of Dr. Sarah Miller yesterday, the state forensic examiner, that Sharon was not injured. She didn't have the 40 to 50 instances of blunt force trauma that Marissa Kennedy had suffered at the hands of Giulio. And that's something that sort of struck me last week while we were talking, is that there doesn't appear to be that evidence of extreme physical abuse directed towards Sharon. Now, maybe it's the threatening conduct, his threats to her, that is, would make her so terrified that in all of these numerous instances where she could have reported the abuse occurring to her daughter. Steve and I have been debating this case from the outset. I'm leaning toward the idea that, you know, where there isn't a lot of evidence of Sharon being physically abused, and she had numerous instances of opportunity to go to the state and or tell somebody, a neighbor, you know, a police officer, whomever, that this abuse was going on, I think that's going to be compelling evidence for the state. So this is the kind of debate, the discussion the jury will have in a jury room. We have 12 people, harkening back to the movie back in the day when only men were allowed into the jury room, 12 angry men. Fortunately, now we have both the genders and a wide range of the community represented in the jury, that will have this vigorous debate between the state's evidence and the defense evidence. You try to get, if you're a defense lawyer, you're looking for one holdout that's just adamant that Sharon Carrillo was a victim of spousal abuse and was just simply not in a position to voluntarily reach out to somebody and end the abuse. So I'll keep an eye on today how long this deliberation takes. We could well be talking about it tomorrow. There may well be questions from the jury to the court, even after the judge instructs the jury on the law, sort of asking for rereads of evidence or re-instruction. You know, it'd be very interesting if they came back and asked for a definition of voluntariness or something like that, which, again, Justice Murray will instruct on. So that's what I'll be looking for throughout the course of the day.
Are we bold enough to ask you if you have a prediction? Not on the time the jury will return, but what verdict they might return based on what you know from the accounts on which you've based, and Steve, you both shared your insight?
Yeah, I have not I have not obviously been in the courtroom for 7 days, you know, listening to all the evidence. And that's one of the things that jury has the, I won't say fortunate, they're not, you know, very extremely, I can't imagine being on this jury or, you know, our neighbors, our friends being on a jury like this. This is going to be an excruciating decision one way or the other. And the jury's got to grapple with this. And this is simply not a case. You know, many murder trials, you know, we could make a prediction probably from opening statement on, even though that's sort of getting beyond the presumption of innocence. Here, very difficult. There is a very strong defense. And the jury, there, you know, the fascinating thing about juries is, are, I'm not sure which verb to use there, but that they will focus on one or two critical pieces of evidence. So that may be something that you and I and the public have not heard about yet. And they may focus on a certain piece of evidence, and that may be what turns the tide one way or the other. And again, it has to be unanimous, and they have to unanimously agree beyond a reasonable doubt to convict Sharon Carrillo. So one vote against conviction could result in what we call a hung jury. And we'll see if that should occur.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.